In the 19th century, a cholera epidemic swept through the city of Guanajuato, Mexico, taking the lives of many of the city's residents with it. In the grips of this pandemic, bodies were hastily buried to prevent further spreading. One of them, however, was not dead. In this podcast, we'll tell you the strange thing that happened to many of the buried bodies and the horrific story of one woman who was buried alive. This is the Mysteries of Latin America podcast. Friends, welcome to the podcast. My name is Andrew Colon, and if it's your first time visiting, what we do here is tell stories of the many myths, legends, histories, and mysteries of North, Central, and South America and the Caribbean, so the whole world knows our stories. If you're a returning listener, I really appreciate you coming back, and I also send out a big gracias to all of you for listening, sharing, and following us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's get to the mummies. In the 19th century, Mexico, along with much of the world, was devastated by a global cholera epidemic, causing widespread death and social disruption. For those unfamiliar with what exactly cholera is, I know I had to research it. It's a bacterial infection, mainly spread through contaminated water and food, which led to severe dehydration, diarrhea, and death, claiming millions of lives around the world. Mexico and the city of Guanajuato, in particular, weren't spared. The cholera epidemic fueled social unrest as fear and desperation gripped communities, prompting drastic measures such as rapid burials and quarantine efforts, while making existing social and economic inequalities even worse and straining public health infrastructure. Sound familiar? Due to the high mortality rate and the city of Guanajuato resorting to burying the dead in public communal cemeteries, many bodies were put into the ground hastily and without proper embalming. And then in 1865, a local law was passed requiring families to pay a grave tax to ensure their loved ones' graves were maintained. If families didn't or were unable to pay, the coffins and the bodies would be exhumed. Between 1865 and 1890, more than 100 bodies were unburied. When they dug up the bodies, cemetery workers discovered that dozens of bodies had not decomposed as expected, mainly due to the dry, alkaline, and high mineral content soil and climate conditions of Guanajuato, and so the corpses were naturally mummified. These mummified bodies, with their facial expressions frozen in time, attracted a lot of attention and caused quite a controversy when the news got out. Over time, more mummies were discovered as additional graves were open. Evidently, more people failed to pay that grave tax. And nothing says respect for the departed like charging them rent for their final resting place, right? And that's where our most famous Guanajuato cemetery resident comes into the equation. Among the most famous of these mummies is that of Ignacia Aguilar de Chirilo, a woman who reportedly died after falling ill with cholera during the epidemic. According to what little is known about Ignacia Aguilar, she lived up until the year 1830. In that year, the cholera pandemic struck Mexico, especially in the regions of Guanajuato and Veracruz. Ignacia's death certificate indicates their cause of death was an intestinal infection, which is how most people's COD was stated during the cholera epidemic in Mexico. But the legend tells that she suffered from catalepsy. Now, I'd heard of epilepsy and narcolepsy, but catalepsy was a new one for me. And although I had an idea, if I remembered my Greek and Roman roots from back in high school, I had to look it up. It turns out that catalepsy is a neurological condition characterized by a trance-like state, where the person might exhibit immobility, rigidity, and loss of response to external stimuli, making it appear as if the person could be dead. Now, with so many people dying during the cholera pandemic, the bodies of the deceased were quickly buried without prior arrangements to prevent the spread of the disease. It's believed that due to the distress caused by the pandemic that was hitting the country and causing the death of so many people, Ignacia developed the nervous system condition of catalepsy. Apparently, according to what's said, Ignacia's catalepsy was brought on by the anguish and anxiety of being on lockdown during the cholera pandemic. And so, apparently one night, Ignacia had a cataleptic crisis that lasted more than 72 hours, and her heart apparently even stopped beating. After some time, and fearing contracting cholera, her family, and I imagine any medical professional that might have come in contact with her, presumed that she was dead and decided to bury her. She was taken to the cemetery located by the Temple of San Sebastian in the historic center of Guanajuato and was quickly interred. And then, not much else was known about Ignacia's death or her family. It's possible that Ignacia's family and acquaintances were victims of the pandemic, as her tomb was abandoned. The documentation on her cemetery plot expired, no one renewed it, and no one claimed her remains. So municipal authorities decided to take charge of the remains and transferred them to a new cemetery. The gravediggers who were charged with the task of digging up Ignacia's grave got quite a surprise when they took out the coffin and upon opening it, they found a mummy. And to make matters worse, the mummified corpse in the coffin was face down and covered in scratches. It's not known how much time passed since she was buried until she regained consciousness inside her coffin, but she did come back. And once Ignacia Aguilar returned, she found herself trapped in a dark and narrow wooden space, unable to escape. Experts think that when she came out of her cataleptic state, she tried using her back to push through the top of the coffin to get out. But no one heard her screams or her efforts to escape from that horror. Ignacia Aguilar had been buried alive. Death from asphyxiation is an especially agonizing experience. Her lack of oxygen likely induced panic, pain, and a profound sense of helplessness, amplifying her suffering as her body fought for survival until the very end. And fight she did. When her grave was exhumed, her body was found showing evidence of struggle. Her hands were pressed against the coffin's bottom, which was also full of scratch marks. She had also bitten her arm, and there was a presence of blood in her mouth from that bite, and not to mention a permanent look of anguish was etched onto her face. Now, many other mummies also had distressed looks on their faces, which led to a generalized belief that they too had been buried alive, which sent a shockwave through Guanajuato at the time. Science, later on, however, proved that the looks on the other people's bodies were products of the process of mummification and not a mass burial of undead people. Ignacia's case, though, was the anomaly. But that wasn't the end of the story for Ignacia and the other mummified bodies from the cemetery. Why? Because the Museo de las Momias, the Museum of the Mummies, it's located in the city of Guanajuato, and it was established when bodies like Ignacia's, buried in the local cemeteries during the cholera epidemic, were discovered to have naturally mummified due to the unique conditions we mentioned earlier. When many of the bodies were exhumed after families failed to pay their grave tax, they revealed remarkably preserved remains. The museum was created to showcase these eerie yet historically significant artifacts, attracting visitors from around the world who come to witness this unusual phenomenon and learn about the history of the region. Today, the Museo de las Momias continues to intrigue and captivate visitors with its collection of mummified bodies, serving as a reminder of the fragility of life and the unique ways in which different cultures confront mortality. And where is Ignacia Aguilar? Currently, Ignacia's mummified body can be seen in the Tragic Deaths Hall of the Guanajuato Museum of Mummies. And there, visitors can only imagine the suffering she endured in her final moments of life. And just a few years after our own lockdown situations, I think we can relate to the feelings of panic, social disruption, and anxiety people must have dealt with during the cholera epidemic way back in the day. And if you're wondering how cholera was treated, back then, the treatment for cholera usually involved families taking care of their ill at home. If you had the means, doctors would use treatment like bleeding the patients or opium. Homeopathic methods were popular among the middle and upper classes, as well as all manner of dietary and hygienic regimens that were promoted in newspapers and books, the social media of the day. Those without families or the means might find themselves in public hospitals, which could become grim places indeed during an epidemic. Preachers and priests gave sermons on the meaning of cholera for both individuals and society, and health officials, governments, and people were constantly at odds over what brought the disease on, how it spread, and how it should be treated. In different countries of the world, riots even ensued due to popular revolt against the mass burials. The cholera epidemic was finally ended through a combination of public health measures and advancements in medical understanding and treatment, including improving sanitation, access to clean water, and hygiene practices to prevent the spread of the disease. Additionally, the development and widespread distribution of cholera vaccines helped to control the outbreaks and reduce the impact of the disease on vulnerable populations. Effective treatment of cholera cases with oral rehydration therapy and antibiotics also played a significant role in reducing the mortality rates and containing the epidemic. And that, friends, brings us to the end of our story on the mummies of Guanajuato and the story of Ignacia Aguilar, may she rest in peace, part of a bizarre chapter in the history of Mexico, but illustrative of an important time and how, I guess, some things never change. Friends, I thank you for listening once more to the Mysteries of Latin America podcast. It's a place where I tell the stories of the myths, legends, and mysteries and history of North, Central, South America, and the Caribbean, so the whole world knows a little bit more of what makes us, us. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe and follow the podcast however you're listening, and we'll be back soon with another story. Friends, my name is Andrew Colon, and I say thank you and gracias for listening. Adios.